VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, electors from across the country either gathered at the designated location for the respective state, primarily at state capitals, to cast their votes for president. Last night, it was proclaimed that sufficient electoral votes were cast for former Vice President Biden that propelled him to be officially President-elect Biden. 306 electoral votes for Joe Biden, 232 for Donald Trump. Today it was reported that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell congratulated Joe Biden, calling him the President-elect and saying the Electoral College has spoken. Senator John Thune of South Dakota, the second-ranking GOP member, is quoted as saying, "At some point you have to face the music." Once the Electoral College settles the issue today, referring to yesterday, it's time for everybody to move on. Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri, the chairman of the inaugural committee, said the panel will not deal with Vice President Biden, that they will now deal with him as president-elect. Meanwhile, much has come forth regarding the Dominion voting system, which, like in Antrim, Michigan, forensics reports come out saying we conclude that the Dominion voting system is flawed. It's purposely designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results. The system intentionally generates an enormous high level of ballot errors. Electronic ballots are then transferred for adjudication. Yet today we have the CEO of Dominion Voting Systems telling Arizona legislators that audits and recounts of Dominion technology used in the 2020 election have, quote, validated the accuracy and reliability of the election results. So, ladies and gentlemen, is it over? Has the door completely shut on President Donald Trump for a second term? Joining us today, we welcome back Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Matt, you were with us last week, and before we talk about the vote that happened yesterday, last week we were discussing this case taken to the U.S. Supreme Court by the Attorney General of Texas, and many states signed on to this. This is a case President Trump called the big one. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court issued a very short order and just said that Texas doesn't have standing to challenge what happens in another state with regards to the election. That's very disappointing because this was a case that raised serious issues on the merits, but the court never got to that because you have to have standing, an injury, in other words, a direct injury that is before the court. And essentially what the Supreme Court said is Texas doesn't have that direct injury. Now, who would? Well, obviously the electors would, and the electors just voted yesterday, and we have some dueling electors that actually voted for President Donald Trump. They would have standing, but clearly President Donald Trump has standing. And so either the electors and or President Donald Trump can bring the same kind of lawsuit that Texas brought because they have standing and raise the merits that Texas raised because they are very significant and serious and will change the outcome of the election. And what they would do, instead of filing directly at the Supreme Court, they would file in the various lower courts in the different states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and include Arizona, by the way. Those cases would then move very quickly through the appeal process and then be able to go back to the U.S. Supreme Court with proper parties. That's what should be done.
Well, when you look at this, though, Matt, I mean, I'm sure the Texans are saying, hey, don't we have standing here because you're invalidating our vote? I mean, our electoral votes here. It would seem that they would have standing.
Yeah, I think they do have standing, and certainly Justices Alito and Thomas thought that they did and said that the court should entertain the case. Obviously, there's a significant interest. As you saw, 18 additional states filed amicus briefs in support of Texas. And of those, there's about six, and that is a few additional, that actually filed for intervention to become co-parties with Texas. And then, of course, President Donald Trump filed for intervention to become a co-party or a co-plaintiff. So you have this incredible interest. that is shown here. And I think the fact is, one state does have an interest in another state's invalidation of the presidential election, because if one state becomes errant, all the other 49 states, when it is involving a national presidential election, it's different for maybe a, you don't have an interest if they didn't elect their senators right. That would be something in the state or some other local official that's only for that state. But when we're talking about a single individual, a president of the United States, that is the president of all the states and territories, then when you have a fraudulent problem and a violation of the law in one state, it clearly affects the rest of the states. And Texas laid that out very precisely.
Yesterday, electors cast their ballots at their respective states. It was reported Joe Biden won the electoral vote. Is it now over, Matt?
No, it's not over at all, because what we have is even though those electoral college electors voted, they voted based upon the fraudulent results of several states, the ones I just mentioned as an example, and that's what Texas raised. And so Texas said that clearly there's so much irregularity and violation of the law, particularly with the mail-in ballots, not even to get into the problems that we now know that's happened in your state, for example, mm-hmm. in Michigan, with the Dominion software audit, which we can talk about. Mm-hmm. But just with the mail-in ballots, so much fraud, so much illegality that you cannot trust the results. Consequently, you can't use those fraudulent results to pick the electors. Therefore, what Texas said is what needs to happen is the state legislatures need to appoint their own electors. Now, these states are governed by legislatures that are Republican-controlled, and that's still a possibility because we're not even to January 6th, and we're certainly not to January 20. January 6th is when Congress meets to open up the information to count the electoral votes. Additionally, what we have is dueling electoral votes that occurred this week.
Yeah, and Matt, this is something that's not getting a whole lot of media attention, and because in battleground states like ours here in Wisconsin, there was this alternate set of Republican electors that met, and they cast their votes.
That's right, and even in your state, you know, they tried to, I think it was your state, where the police tried to block access.
That was Michigan.
That was Michigan, mm-hmm. Block access to the courthouse. But so in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in other places, and then, of course, in Michigan, they tried to do the same thing. They cast these competing electoral votes. So you have electoral votes cast in those states for Biden and electoral votes cast for President Trump. So and that all sets up this whole idea that this is a contested election. So this is not over. Even though the electoral votes, you know, have been cast, there's dueling electoral votes. And the next step in this constitutional process, which, by the way, January 6th is not a constitutional date, but the process is constitutional in terms of how we go about dealing with this contested election. The next date on our calendar is going to be January 6th, and that's when the new Congress is sworn in, and they begin to open those ballots to count them from the Electoral College. But a lot can happen between now and then. And if there is a continual contest and nobody gets a majority, then it's a contested election, and you go to the 12th Amendment, which means that every state gets one vote. Delaware gets a vote. Wisconsin gets one vote. Florida gets a vote. And obviously there's more Republican-controlled states of the state legislatures than there are Democratic states, and consequently that would bode well for President Trump again. So again, it's just not over it by any means, even though the media wants you to think it's over.
Well, January 6th, as you point out, is when Congress is going to convene to count these. And, Matt, I was reading an article here from Heritage Foundation talking about how there has to be an objection then to this vote by somebody, by a person writing from the House, and then that you have to have at least one senator from any particular state also, you know, challenge this to prevent the certification. I understand that there have been a couple senators like Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Rand Paul of Kentucky, who have said, yeah, we will be ones to contest that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we need to do. In fact, we have a fax and a petition that we're going to be doing and have been doing. We'll be adding the members of Congress, the Republican members of both the House and the Senate, to contest the election when they meet on January 6th. So that will be a big event. And again, that just really underscores that this is far from over.
One other thing, Matt, before we talk about this Dominion voting systems, and with this vote taking place yesterday, and things are tabulated here at this point that the media again declares 306 electoral votes for Joe Biden, 232 for Donald Trump. Today you've got Mitch McConnell, you've got a number of legislators now saying, well, the electors have spoken, it's time to move on. Is it?
No, it's not time to move on. The process is still in continuation. Look, we still have a case pending at the U.S. Supreme Court. There's others that are reaching the Supreme Court. The Pennsylvania case with regards to the illegal activity regarding extending the time for mail-in ballots past the election day is still pending at the U.S. Supreme Court. There's litigation going on in your state. There's an audit right now that's part of an ongoing litigation of the Dominion software. There's other cases going on as well. So it's not over. Look, let me just give you one figure. There's lots of figures. We could just, you know, just make your head spin with them. But just this one. In Georgia alone, that state has 16 electoral votes. 12,670 is the gap between Biden and Trump. Now, when the polls closed, President Trump was leading by a long shot. But there's about 100,000 unqualified votes that were cast. And let me just give you one figure. 66,247 votes were cast in Georgia by underage people that were not old enough to vote.
Hmm.
So you just throw out 66,247 kids that voted, minors that voted in Georgia alone. And I've got a lot of other facts and figures with regards to Georgia. That's where you come up with about 100,000 are improper, and yet the vote margin was only 12,670. Even if you take out that one, throw out all the underage kids, that alone, when you start to analyze that and say, let's count without these 66,247 kids that voted, let's just now look at what happened in Georgia, and I guarantee you that alone will tip the election. So that's what Texas and its litigation was about. There's so much in these states that is illegal and fraudulent and violation of law that you cannot trust the results. And that's why the state legislatures should appoint their own electors.
So President Trump can continue that suit? The electors themselves can continue that suit?
Yeah, absolutely. They can continue the same thing. All the Supreme Court did, I disagree, but all the Supreme Court did is say that Texas doesn't have a direct injury because of what happened in another state. But who does? Well, obviously the president does because he's running in all the states, and he ran in all of these states, and he's the candidate. Who else? The electors in those states have an injury as well.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. And friends, a quick break. After we come back, we're going to get into this Dominion voting system. Yesterday, we had a Michigan judge ordering the release of this forensic audit. What happened? We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast do stars change from one type of star into another?
Chris, evolutionists are fond of saying that changes in stars take millions of years to occur. But it's important to remember that they've never seen stars do anything for millions of years. And yet sometimes we do see stars undergo dramatic change quickly. Recently, a star was observed to change in only a few years from a white dwarf star about the size of the Earth to a giant star 80 times wider than the Sun, an increase in volume of over 500 million. Evolutionists used to insist that such changes took long periods, but when we see it happen rapidly. Evidently, the biblical doctrine of recent creation of all things is accurate. Back to Genesis, that's the view that fits the facts.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
The electors voted. Is it final? According to our guest today, the answer is no, it is not final, and much coming up yet as it relates to the time between now and when Congress convenes on January 6th and counts the votes, and then even that is not a hard and fast date, constitutionally speaking. But Matt, let's talk about another one of these aspects that are impacting all of this, and that's the Dominion voting systems. We have a Michigan judge ordering the release now of this forensic audit, the Dominion voting system machines, and the group conducting this audit, they revealed over a 68% error rate, which is at least 85,000 times higher than the FEC guidelines. They also reported about this extremely suspicious absence of logs regarding the abnormally high number. So what about this Dominion system, the report from independent forensic audits? It's one state, and we know that audits are being called for in other states.
Yes, I know. This is very disturbing. In fact, we're actually doing a fairly detailed email that's going out tomorrow on this. But you have multiple problems that affected nearly 70% of the votes cast in Antrim County. This is part of the ongoing litigation that's there. But you have Federal Election Commission allows, the FEC, that governs elections, allows errors of one ballot out of 250,000. If you have more than that, then you've got a serious problem. Now, that is 0.0008%. One out of 250,000 ballots. But this audit concluded, quote, we observed an error rate of 68.05% in the areas studied in Michigan. I mean, that's unbelievable. This is Antrim County, Michigan. And they go on to talk about the additional things. For example, in Central Lake Township, there were 1,222 ballots reversed out of 1,491. In other words, you had 1,491 ballots cast, but of those, 1,222 ballots were reversed. That is an error rate of 81.96%. Now, what did they do when you had the voting Dominion system cast out a ballot? Well, then what they had to do is require, quote, adjudication. And what that did was it ultimately then went to a person to enter it without any oversight. And here's what they said, quote, we conclude that the Dominion voting system is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results, close quote.
Matt, it's amazing. And stories are also coming out about this SolarWinds, a software that is used by Dominion as being, it's been hacked. According to reports.
Yeah, it's been hacked. And this, so what we have here is the hacked of the SolarWinds used by Dominion. And this then opens up influence from foreign countries, which means, I mean, think about this. This is the serious problem that we have here. I mean, this is so much worse than 2000, 20 years ago when I litigated in Florida. That was one state, a few counties, a lot was at stake. But what happened in Florida doesn't mean that it equates over to Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. It was isolated to a few counties in Florida. What's happening here with the mail-in ballots combined with this computer software that's designed to sway elections means that that affects the entire country. And with the hacking and with the intentional design to throw elections, that means that America can be influenced by its foreign countries that are enemies of the United States of America. This is a national security issue that's of utmost importance. And that means that without firing a single shot, China, as an example, can choose who the highest elected official is in the United States of America and then ultimately overcome us, destroy us, and weaken us. Because it's putting in its own puppets that's not going to resist. Obviously, President Trump was the strongest president ever to stand up against China. And China, obviously, and others like Iran and others that don't like America and that want to overcome it, overturn it, that think it's either the great Satan like Iran or has this world-dominating motif, which is like China. They have interest in coming after America and toppling it from within, and they can do that by hacking into these systems that are inherently designed to switch elections and change the elections so that whoever they want, they can put in. I mean, that's the problem, and that's the serious issue here. So when the media and when others just simply say, look, it's over, Biden won, let's move on, no, let's heal as a country. No, this is destroying the country. And if we don't get to the bottom of it, we don't stop it now, we have no country.
Yeah, and Matt, and this is really important because this Dominion voting systems that uses the SolarWinds software, this is from Epic News, SolarWinds does not list Dominion on its partial customer listing, but says its products and services are used by more than 300,000 customers around the world, including all five branches of the U.S. military, more than 425 of the U.S. Fortune 500 companies here as well. You've got a number of government agencies. You've got a number of big, you know, businesses that are utilizing this, which has been hacked into. And here is USA Today. U.S. government agencies hacked. Russia a possible culprit. I mean, you've got nations that are not U.S. friendly that are very much alleged to be involved in this the software hacking that went on.
Yeah, no question about that. So you have really a real problem here.
I was going to bring up another aspect, and you've got this pathway here of the Trump lawsuit or electors filing a Texas-style type suit saying, hey, we do have standing here. We also have this happening at the electoral vote certification by Congress that there can be objection that takes place there. Another opportunity here, Matt, I see it, Sidney Powell is saying this is far from over. And talking about turning this into a major racketeering act under RICO, is there anything to that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot to that. I think that there are significant actors that are involved of different levels. I think they're both internal in the United States and external as well. And I think there is a conspiracy to ultimately come against the United States and commit voter fraud. That is clearly a problem, and that is essentially what RICO does. I mean, you have to have an underlying cause of action, and then RICO is a template that comes on top of it and provides severe additional penalties.
Let's also hit this executive order President Trump signed back in 2018. And here's a quote. This is an executive order that states not later than 45 days after the conclusion of a United States election, the director of national intelligence in consultation with the heads of any other appropriate executive departments and agencies shall conduct an assessment of any information indicating that a foreign government or any person acting as an agent of or on behalf of a foreign government has acted with the intent or purpose of interfering in that election. There appears to be a President Trump being able to pull this executive order into action has to be within 45 days of the election, which we understand would be like this Friday. Is that a possibility, or is there anything to that?
No, I think there is a possibility. Certainly no indication yet as to what the president will do, but certainly he has the authority to act. And again, this is not just an election between Republicans and Democrats, whether you want President Trump or President Biden as the president, Biden or Trump as the president. It's not just about that. Certainly, that's on the surface of it. But the bigger issue goes well beyond 2020, goes well beyond who is the candidate you want in office. It goes well beyond to the national security and the sovereignty of the United States of America. So that's why it's so serious.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. And Matt, I know eyes are also on January 5th with his Georgia elections and to determine those last two Senate seats. And we've got the like of Stacey Abrams, who's bragging about having some 1.2 million absentee ballots for the Georgia runoff.
Yeah, so here again, this is our first election since we've seen all the fraud in the presidential election. And they're bragging just like they were going into the 2020 election. It's no wonder why it didn't appear to be of any concern to Biden that either he didn't campaign or when he did campaign, he had 12 or maybe a dozen people show up or so. And yet President Trump, when he campaigned tirelessly, had tens and tens of thousands of people show up and wait for hours. Didn't seem to be a concern to them, and they were so certain that they were going to win. They were even threatening, once they got power, that they were going to punish people that they don't agree with. It's almost like they knew what was going to happen ahead of the time. Now, we're seeing the same kind of rhetoric come out of Stacey Abrams out of Georgia. And again, you have that many ballots, absentee ballots, mail-in ballots, they're fraught with fraud. And everyone has known that. Everyone has agreed on that until the Democrats made it a partisan issue this year and said, oh, no, President Trump is just exaggerating. Then that's exactly what we're seeing happen. We're seeing election fraud 2.0 in Georgia. And that's why we have to stop this, because they want to have control of the Senate, but they don't want to have it in a legitimate way. They want to ultimately gain power, and it doesn't matter how they gain power. It's just the end goal. Well, the end goal depends upon how you're doing it now. How you're doing it now is ultimately a destruction of the republic. It's the destruction of America as we know it.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, I find it interesting that yesterday Hillary Clinton cast her electoral vote, and then she called for the abolition of the Electoral College, saying we should select our president by the winner of the popular vote.
Yeah, well, you know, the winner of the popular vote would mean that you don't have a vote at all in Wisconsin and most of the other states. Mm-hmm. The only states that would have any vote would be California, New York, Texas, and Florida, the largest states in the country with the most electoral votes. Nobody else would really matter. And so you have four states that the president candidates would campaign in, and two of those are, you know, very liberal, New York and California. And nobody else would really matter. And so, you know, California and New York would have a huge say in who becomes the president of the United States. Then we'd all be ruled like California and New York with all the restrictions, and all the people that want to leave there, people would want to be leaving the United States because it would become California or New York writ large.
Matt, are you concerned in your heart of hearts as a constitutional attorney that we have turned the corner on the constitutional rule of law in our nation?
Oh, yeah, I have been for some time. I was very pleased with how President Donald Trump nominated to the various courts different constitutionalists. They're not all perfect, but I can tell you what, having litigated between other nominees from other presidents that have been confirmed, there's a world of difference between the judges and justices that Trump has nominated and got confirmed. These are people who try to wrestle with what the law is, the Constitution says. They may not get it 100% right. Nobody is perfect, but I can tell you what, they take it seriously, whereas others don't. And that has been a real serious problem. It's been a real nice joy to see the kinds of judges and justices Trump has nominated. But I can tell you what, if you have a Biden, it's back to the kind of judges that Obama nominated, and they have been universally just not wanting to follow the rule of law. I mean, they think they are the rule of law.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. We'll be back in just a minute. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow Robert Knight is scheduled to be with us here today and taking a look. He'll go more in depth on those that are being selected by Joe Biden should he take the presidency and be inaugurated as President of the United States. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Crosstalk.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. You can stay abreast at lc.org, lc.org. Matt, you mentioned you're going to be working on an email tomorrow.
I've got it right here. We'll be sending this out tomorrow. It's about this audit in Michigan, and we'll be doing some additional in-depth analysis on this and many other things. And we're going to be doing it through our Liberty Counsel Action email at lcaction.org. But here, you know, talking about this audit, this is what the audit found. And again, this is part of court litigation. So this is going into the court record, and the judge actually authorized the release of this audit once it came out. And it says here, the computer system shows, this is talking about Michigan, vote adjudication, which I mentioned before, it's when this Dominion software throws out the votes and then they have to be put in. The vote adjudication logs for prior years, but all adjudication log entries for the 2020 election cycle are missing.
Missing.
But all the other ones for prior years are available. The 2020 election cycle disappeared. In addition, on November 21, 2020, an unauthorized user unsuccessfully attempted to zero out election results, which it says this demonstrates additional tampering. They also talk about others that were apparently trying to tamper with this and change the results manually as well. I mean, this is so concerning, and when you see this happening, you cannot trust these results. Again, in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, Trump was leading by large margins when the polls closed on November the 3rd.
Folks, Matt Staver with us. We're going to open some phone lines. No doubt you've got a question you'd like to ask of Matt today. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. So this email alert you're sending out tomorrow, how can our listeners obtain that?
They can go to lcaction.org, and you can subscribe right there as well to that email. You can also go to lc.org. And under the subscribe button, there's opportunity for you to subscribe to the Liberty Counsel emails as well as the Liberty Counsel Action emails. Either way, you can go to one of those two websites, lc.org or lcaction.org, and subscribe. And the one that's going to be sending this tomorrow and delving in deeper is our Liberty Counsel Action sister ministry.
So, friends, get signed up today, and you'll receive that email coming out tomorrow and other alerts that come out on any number of issues, lc.org, lcaction.org. That's letter L, letter C, and, again, that stands for Liberty Counsel, and helpful information. You've no doubt folks have got a number of questions, so let's take those right now. Christine in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I appreciate everything you do. I cannot even express how much. But, you know, there's something else I learned that I have been following this with a fine-tooth comb. Valerie Biden Owens, Joe Biden's sister, is married to John Owens. His brother, R. Kevin Owens, is founder of Staple Street Investors, which owns Dominion Voting. Staple Street Capital, I mean, I never heard anything about that. Are you, you're apprised of this?
And
this
is we're apprised of it, and there's a lot of other interesting connections and characters with Dominion as well. And there's also connections with George Soros, one of the previous high executives of Dominion, is now going to be a high executive running one of George Soros's Open Society organization, so they're all incestuously together in that particular group, going back and forth. And you can see, you know, also George Soros had a plan to use to get more secretaries of state, liberal secretaries of state, elected. He spent lots and lots of money, and that's why, for example, in these states like, say, Pennsylvania, for example, you got a very liberal secretary of state who's Democrat, but you've got a Republican-controlled legislature. Because George Soros focused on the secretaries of state to ultimately be their, quote, firewall, close quote, for these elections.
Yeah. Thanks, Christine. He also did the same thing with local district attorneys across the nation. Mike in Bayview, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim and Matt. Say, listen, I was just wondering, when all of this thing gets washed out, Will these people be tried for treason that are doing this and some kind of ramifications? Because otherwise this is going to continue completely, you know?
Yeah, and that question is really going to depend on who's the president of the United States. If it's Biden, I don't think so. I think it'll all be washed away. If it's President Trump, I think absolutely. You do have some prosecution that's going on in the state levels that's not going to be directly affected by who's in the office. You've got indictments in Texas for someone who was getting ballots from these people in nursing homes who had dementia. You have indictments in California where somebody was doing several thousand types of ballots like this, mail-in ballots. So, but those are the only two I know about. There may be others out there, and there may be more certainly coming. But those are small potatoes, so to speak, as serious as they are, compared to the other issues that we see on a systemic, broad-based scenario.
Thank you, Mike. Nancy is next. Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I have a quick question. If President Trump is not happy with the results that are going on, if he feels he's being misrepresented by his legal team, can he appoint a new team and start all over again?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Certainly he can. I mean, he's got total control as who's going to represent him. And he can do that. And I urge him to act quickly and for the legal team to act. And certainly we and others are standing by to provide any, you know, research and assistance. And we've been doing a lot of research and analysis and providing information as much as we can. It's been something we've actually dedicated full-time staff to.
Thank you, Nancy. Let's go to Mark next. You're on the air, Mark.
Yes, my comment is this. I think the Attorney General's, starting with Jeff Sessions' recusal of the Russian collusion issue, followed by William Barr's resignation yesterday, pretty much energized the demise of not allowing Donald Trump to have the upper hand in his presidency. I mean, they undermined him.
Let me get Matt's response to that. Thank you, Mark.
Yes. Well, let me just say that indeed what we have happening is, Attorney General Barr has been doing a lot of good. Now, I know there's been frustration with him recently, and I understand that completely. But I hate to see him go, especially at this particular time of the session. I wish he would continue to stay on. But I think probably it was some kind of hurt feelings because of what President Trump tweeted with respect to the laptop of Hunter Biden being in the possession of the DOJ and the FBI and not being released to the public. So I think that's an unfortunate situation. But again, he's already appointed some other acting people, and the cases and the investigation will still go on.
Thank you, Mark. We're going next to Mick, calling in from West Dallas. You're on the air.
Hi, I had a question regarding the mainstream media. If the president does the right thing and uses the Sedition Act and we're able to bring charges against the treasonous, don't you think the media should be complicit? And here's why. Because even before the election, they were telling us how there was going to be this red mirage that at the end of the night, Trump was going to look like he's winning, and then in the morning, Biden would win. And it's as if they were trying to brainwash people before the election even happened into accepting this charade that they're forcing upon us. And I'll listen off the air.
Okay, thank you.
Well, yeah, and I don't know whether he would do that or not, but certainly he's got an incredible amount of power, and I think he's probably weighing all the different options. And that's probably one of the last things that he would, you know, consider to do. For good reason, because there's still a lot of other things to play out between now and January 6th and even January 20.
And one of the things he was pointing out there too, Matt, is the media itself that has been so actively engaged in this election in a way to really undermine President Trump.
Yeah, the media has become like the Pravda of the former Soviet Union. It's just become an arm of the... In that situation, it was the arm of the communist Marxist regime. And it's just become an arm of the Democratic Marxist party and political movement. And it is completely fraudulent and completely unable to be trusted anymore. And that has serious consequences. For example, the media would not even touch the laptop in Joe Biden's involvement with his son Hunter in China, wouldn't even touch it. And then what happened is Democrats voted, and then there was a poll that was conducted by a reputable polling organization after they voted. And they were asked, would they have voted for Joe Biden had they known about Hunter Biden's laptop and the China connection between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden? And a third of them said they would not. Well, why did they not know? Because the media sources would not allow them to have any information about it. They have intentionally covered that story.
Let's go next to, and folks, that's what we need, programs just like this. This is what we need, Liberty Council. Maxine, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to ask, what can we say to the average citizen who believes everything they hear on the media, that it's not over yet? How can we explain that to them simply?
You know, that's a great question. You know, we have people that are on our email list, and they'll get something like we just talked about on the audit, and then they'll go look at Snopes, or they'll look at something else, and or they'll say, I can't find it, or the information I have, it just doesn't comport with it. And so we have to go back in and show them that's not accurate and show them more detail. And that's really hard. We have to challenge them and have to show them. Look, you know, there's a documentary called The Social Dilemma, The Social Dilemma. And it says that if you do a search for, say, and what they gave as an example, climate change, doesn't matter where you are, because it's going to give you the answer for your particular jurisdiction. So if you do that search in Florida versus California or Michigan or Georgia, you're going to come up with Google giving you different responses, different hits. Why? Because the algorithms are trying to determine what that community thinks about climate change. So if you're in a climate change area, you're going to get pro-climate change. If you're in another area, you're going to get anti-climate change information. You're not going to get the objective reality. Now, that's the manipulation that we have happening with this media, including social media.
Thanks, Maxine. Devin in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. My main question is, is there so much corruption at every level of our government, or why does it seem like it's so hopeless to have any justice done in this when, in fact, there's so much fraud that's evident, is my first question.
Well, it's not hopeless. You know, there were times, for example, George Washington and some of the early founders and patriots could have given up, and rightfully so. And you know, they were surrounded, they were depressed, they were beleaguered, they were hungry, they had no money, they were dying of disease, and they didn't give up. And we see what happened. God miraculously intervened, preserved them through time, and we have the United States of America. Never, ever, ever give up.
Devin, it sounded like you had a follow-up, but we're at a break, so you stay on the line, and we'll pick you up right after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, back in a minute here on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. We have a TV show on our website. It's all about a 25-page report written by a group of Democrats. Many of them we would call neo-Marxist. One is a proud Islamist. The report is called Secular Democrats of America. And the 25-page report reveals what they want to do if Joe Biden does become president. And it includes crushing and destroying traditional Christians in America. Conservative Christians. They refer to them as the religious right or as Christian nationalists. They go on to declare that they want the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice to recognize these white Christian nationalists as a national security threat, as a hate group, and they want them to invest resources to, quote, de-radicalization programs aimed at, end quote, these hate groups. My friends, this is a serious threat. Pay attention.
Dave are with us from Liberty Counsel. Again, you can sign up for their email alert at lc.org, lcaction.org. We're talking with Devin in Minnesota. Devin, you had a follow-up here for us.
Yeah, I was wondering if just maybe Matt could explain to the general public why this is not business as usual, Democrat versus Republican, why it's way deeper than that, than in years past when maybe the Democrat and Republicans have just had, you know, a few differences between the two parties. And then real quickly, why is the media so progressive and anti-righteousness?
Thank you, Devin.
Yeah, good question. Well, there's two answers to your first part of your question. One, it used to be that there were some commonalities between Republican Party and Democratic Party, but since Obama and continued through President Trump, the Democratic Party has become very, very radicalized, and it's given voice to the most radical fringes, frankly, Marxist, communist fringes, fringes that hate America, i.e., you know, you look at the BLM movement, the Antifa movement, the destruction of our cities, the Marxism that's coming out. That is completely antithetical to anything that the Democrats ever stood for as a party. And that's the party now. It's the tail that's wagging the dog. And that is completely antithetical to not only Republicans, but the founding principles of our country. So it is a world of difference. It's not a slight difference. It is a world of difference on every area. And if you look at the interest groups that have demanded Biden to follow up with their particular radical interest to revoke accreditation of Christian colleges, for example, it's radical to the core. They don't want you to have free speech or freedom of thought. They want to punish you, and that's never happened before. But in addition to that, you've got this whole fraud situation that the Democratic Party is part of and pushing, and that means we have no more future elections that have any fairness or validity, and that we become just like a Venezuela or some other foreign Marxist country.
Thank you for that. I know we're going to have another media call coming up here in just a bit, so we'll hold off on that other question. Kim in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes, Amendment 14, it says that no person shall be a senator or president or vice president. If Joe Biden has a dementia and counteract with the espionage and China or whatever he did, he shouldn't be a president. I just want your opinion.
Well, certainly, you know, it's unfortunate that he does obviously have some apparent cognition problem, whatever level that is. We can all see it, and it's a sad situation from a personal standpoint. But as much as that is from a personal standpoint, you don't want that to be the president of the United States of America. And that becomes a real issue. The problem is that he was asked by Jake Tapper on CNN, what happens if you have a disagreement with Kamala Harris? And he goes, well, the same thing that would happen when we had the conversation with Barack Obama. I would get a disease and I would resign. I mean, and the media, speaking of the media, Jake Tapper never even questioned him on that,
right,
that he would get a disease and then resign, and then Harris would become the president. I mean, it's astounding that you would have somebody like that who's running for president and now purports to be the president-elect.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was no I mean, someone said it was a Freudian slip when he kept referring to it as a Harris-Biden ticket, and we heard Kamala Harris do the same thing. Drake in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're on the air. Hello, Drake.
Hi, yes, I just had a question about why, if the governor of the governor of Georgia and all that, it's been like three times now, and he's just saying no, we're not going to do it anymore. Why is he playing such hardball? Why, I'm just wondering why both sides are playing such hardball.
Thank you, Drake.
Well, you had some question by a caller earlier about some of the people that are interconnected with Dominion. And I think that we have the same thing with the governor of Georgia. And there's information there, and certainly Sidney Powell, but others have brought it out. And they've made some serious allegations against the governor of Georgia in terms of whether or not he got any financial remuneration for running Dominion software in Georgia. And if that, in fact, is true, it's no wonder why he doesn't want to challenge it.
Thank you for the call. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, brothers. I tell you, the media has really exposed itself this election season. Ever hear the way they report a dismissed Trump lawsuit, they'll say, well, it was dismissed, and it wrongfully, they add the word wrongfully, like they know this, like they've actually investigated. They say wrongfully alleged, you know, voter fraud or incongruities or whatever. They don't know anything. They're told to do what they're told and to say what they're supposed to say. And I think it's just better if everybody finds some alternative media, because it's better not to know anything and not listen to them than it is to listen to them, still not know anything, and be lied to on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. They use phrases like, with no proof or with no basis, the Trump administration did this.
Yep.
So, yep, good point. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
And let's finally in Milwaukee, Douglas, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm just curious of something here, and there was an article that Carl Bernstein wrote a few weeks ago, and it discussed 21 senators that had some serious discontent for Donald J. Trump. What do you think that maybe these 21 might also have something to gain out of maybe colluding with the Democrats themselves? I mean, we have guys like Mitt Romney and Mahalski, from Alaska, and even Susan Collins there in Maine.
In Maine, yeah. Okay, for sake of time, Matt, we have 45 seconds. Your response to Douglas.
Yeah, well, yeah. Some of those that are listed there, I believe him. Some of those that are listed, I don't believe what the media portrayed about them. But I think that's a problem. I think there are politicians, and I think there's also deep state people that just kind of like the status quo and like the power. And President Trump has been shaking that up, and that's why he had so much opposition.
Thank you for the call here, Douglas. We're out of time. But, friends, the issues are huge. Matt, have you lost hope?
No, I haven't lost hope. I mean, I never lose hope, because I see so many examples through history and biblical history where there's an apparent loss of hope and God comes in and miraculously intervenes. And so, you know, God's in control. He sits on the throne. And, you know, he will not be mocked and never give up, because I know who ultimately wrote the last chapter of the book.
Amen. And friends, we thank you for joining us here today, and it's no mistake that you are here for such a time as this. You can sign up for that email alert system at lc.org, lcaction.org, and stay abreast of so many issues Liberty Counsel is engaged in. Matt, as always, we thank you for being with us and helping to inform our listeners here today on the very critical issues.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And friends, again, lc.org, lcaction.org. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.